Good morning, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the results conference call of the fourth quarter 2020, Pague Menos. Today with us, we have Mr. Mário Queiroz, CEO, Mr. Luiz Novais, Finance Investor Relations Officer, and Mr. José Rafael Vasques, Vice President of Digital Operations and Real Estate. We inform that the participants will only be listening to the conference call during the presentation of the company. Then we will start the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. If any of you need assistance during the conference call, please dial star zero. We inform that this conference call will be conducted in Portuguese by the company's management, and we will have simultaneous translation. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the internet via webcast. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that any statements that may be made during this conference call relating to the company's business prospects, projections, and operational and financial goals are beliefs and assumptions of the Pague Menos board, as well as information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events, and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of the company and could lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. I would now like to give the floor to Mr. Mário Queiroz, who's going to start the presentation. Please, Mr. Mário Queiroz, you may proceed. Hello, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our second conference call. I don't want to be repetitive, but 2020 was really an extremely challenging year when we had to reinvent ourselves, face a global crisis that brought a lot of change and also a lot of losses. A year that most people prefer to forget. But for us at Pague Menos, 2020 was a year which we put our motto to the test, making our customers to live fully. It was by keeping our stores open, offering complete health solution, well-stocked stores guaranteeing service to our customers, complying with all the health and hygiene protocols, and watching over our employees that we managed to grow amidst the crisis, delivering quite robust numbers, as we can see on slide three. The fourth quarter of 2020, we had another quarter of a lot of deliveries. We reached the mark of 14% in growth in our stores. Average sales per store reached 590,000, which helps to dilute costs. Along with productivity and profitability projects, activity resulted in an 8.1% EBITDA margin. Later on, Luiz Novais will provide more details on these numbers. I'd like to highlight on the slide the participation of our digital channels, which remained at 5.2% of our total sales, even after a certain normalization of consumer behavior. This means that those customers who tried our digital channels liked and adopted yet this way of buying with us. Another important indicator is the addition to Clinic Farma, which reached almost 3%. This shows that the population is getting more and more used to taking care of their health in one of our over 800 clinics. And lastly, on this slide, we have the NPS, an index that is part of our day-to-day for over 3 years. And it shows the level of satisfaction of our customers when they go to a Pague Menos pharmacy. 3 years ago, this indicator was 56. In short, we have grown not only in quantity, but especially in quality. On slide five, I bring more information on Clinic Farma. It is well known that we do not consider ourselves a simple pharmacy, but rather a health hub. In the last quarter, we opened 3 more clinics, totaling 809 clinics distributed across all units of the Federation. We've also expanded the portfolio of services offered. We were the first large chain to offer COVID testing in Brazil, and we have already conducted over 350,000 tests. We have signed partnerships with healthcare insurance companies, state health departments, and health techs, offering app VIDA biweekly monitoring of the rate of glucose blood pressure to their patients. We collaborate with the H1N1 vaccination campaign in several states, and we provide our clinics for COVID vaccination. We were pioneers in launching the cheek swab test in partnership with the health tech MilDNA, a test that, through the collection of saliva, can detect up to 320 diseases in a newborn, while PKU test only detects age. I would like to highlight that the telemedicine is a reality of Pague Menos. We have already 38 clinic pharmacies offering this service in addition to our website. We carry out this service in partnership with another health tech, DocTeps. The demand for telemedicine has been growing. In February, we carried out hundreds of consultations in telemedicine. On slide 6, I bring more indicators to highlight the robustness and relevance of our clinic pharma. Almost 300 21% comes from telesales, a very relevant service in the North-Northeast to our target audience of 55 years or more, with a great potential of growth now that we have implemented the unified central delivery system. 6% comes from the super partners apps like Rappi, James, and Uber Eats, and 4% comes from the Infinite Shelf, a new feature that I'll tell you more about on the next slide. Focused on improving our customers' shopping experience in the Q4 2020, we launched three innovations. The Infinite Shelf that guarantees greater availability of products and then can be delivered free of charge to customers' home. Or if they prefer, they can pay and pick at another store of their choice. The scheduled subscription, through which the customer can schedule the quantity of products or the recurrence of their purchases, making their journey more practical and friction-free. And the newest project launched by our digital innovation area, the Pague Menos Locker. Today, it is installed in sub-stores, and the idea is to, in addition to operating to other stores, also place them in high-flow places such as shopping malls, subway stations, commercial centers, and universities. How does it work? The customer buys online, and they have the option of picking the products from the nearest locker. They receive a unique code that opens their door. Yet another service that brings convenience, practicality, and confidentiality to our customers. And speaking of customers, on slide 9, we show that the customer is really at the center of our actions. On the left, we have the NPS, which moved from 66 points for fourth quarter 2019 to 72 points Q4 2020. And I can say that this is the result of many actions, such as improvement in stockout, expansion of assortment, new store layout, less friction in the purchase journey, and a lot of training of the sales force. On the right, we have our score at Reclame Aqui customer complaint service. We moved from 5.9 to 8 in Q4 2020. This reflects a whole effort to listening to our customers and putting ourselves in their shoes, and a greater awareness of departments in solving each request, each demand, and all of this in the shortest possible time. We have reinforced our team in the customer service, as well expanding our team that follow our social networks to act immediately when the posting of complaints. In this digital world, to be agile is mandatory. Now I give the floor to our CFO, Luiz Novais, who's going to bring us the strength of the fourth quarter 2020 in numbers. Thank you. Thank you, Mario. Good morning. Starting on page 11, results of Q4 2020, we'll reinforce some indicators Mario has already shown. We're very happy to share these numbers of 2020 with you. Very positive results that make us feel very optimistic regarding futures. We highlight 4 operational results and profitability. So the operational results, in our view, were the root cause of the financial results. And it hasn't been by chance that we've attained such positive metrics in terms of profitability. So the 4 improvements, the first one, NPS, that Mario mentioned in the first part of the presentation, 72 points at NPS, 6 points above Q4 2019, reduction in the stockout, 19%, a 5% increase in the assortment of products, miscellaneous items sold in the stores, and a number of employees per store, 17.1 a reduction of almost one employee per store regarding Q4 2019. These operational improvements helped us attain profitability to 10.7% same-store sales, 1.7% of expense dilution, 96 million of net profit, and 18.6% of ROIC, actually reinforcing the projections we had after our IPO to our investors. On page 12, we provide information on sales. We have had very important growth in sales since Q4 2019, except for Q2 2020 because of the lockdown. We have been growing sales since the fourth Q, especially Q4 2019. We had, or 2020, same-store sales, we had a growth of 14%, very robust, and 12.3% in mature stores. Total growth of the company very in line with mature stores of approximately 12% and 8% in the year in growth. Even with a reduction in the store base, we had important increase in sales of the company, as I said, result of all the operational improvements we've been working on. On page 13, we highlight our store portfolio, reinforcing our national positioning, only pharmacy chain present in all states of the Federation, leadership in the North, Northeast, and the expanded middle class. We totaled 85% of our mature stores at the end of the year. We started our new expansion cycle since the beginning of last year, and we are very optimistic, full blast, and Vasquez will give further details on this new cycle of expansion in the third part of the presentation. On slide 14, we share with you two very important indicators to us that have been the main levers of sales in 2020. We've been working on them since 2018. So the first of them is the stockout index. As we highlighted in the beginning, we had a 19% reduction of stockout, only looking at Q4 2019 ahead. If we look at the longer term horizon, we had an even greater reduction. We had a first where we had a reduction in demand, but then normalized and reducing, as we mentioned, in the third, fourth Q 2020, result of a lot of work and adjustment of the algorithm and replenishment in the frequency of product delivery in stores and inserting new distributors in our supply network. This has helped us to reduce the stockout index and the second indicators. The increase in assortment, we've been working a lot since 2018. In the year, we had an increase of 5%. If we look at the longer-term horizon, we had an major increase. If we go to 2020, we had an increase of approximately 10% in assortment, accounting for 13% of the company's sale, deriving exclusively from those items that we have inserted in our portfolio, which is very similar to the increase in the average sales per store. On slide 15, we show that we had an increase that was very robust of average sales per store, 14% compared to Q4 2019. We reached 590,000 reais per month per store in the Q4 2020. On the right, we have average ticket and similar tickets. We've been having less frequency of service, average ticket much higher. Average ticket grows not only due to the decrease in frequency, but also increase in assortment and also increase in digital participation, addition to Clinic Pharma, increase in sales with partnerships and agreements. All these channels have shown greater ticket that helped us increase the average ticket of the company. On page 16, we highlight the gross margin of the company, 29.4% Q4, a very good evolution regarding Q3, 0.8 percent points, and the result of a lot of work commercial department in the vendor management new pricing. We captured less than half of the upside of this product, but we've captured part of it in Q4 2020, and we reduced the stock out or the losses of stock of inventory that we mentioned in the Q3 tech conference call. We've recovered this level, part of this indicator in Q4, but we still have improvement opportunities for 2021. This is the result of the increase of assortment of products that actually made some pressure in Q3, but we've seen in previous slides brought cash margin increase in sales that was quite strong, helping us to have greater profitability. So we had a regression looking credit, we had accountability 29, the ADD, and stock or stock out. And we had also, as we mentioned on the previous slide, an increase of participation digital sales that bring us a smaller margin, but EBITDA much higher, very productive. Only cash margin gross profit increment, we had 60 million increase regarding the previous year. We're very optimistic regarding 2021 in terms of margin. We haven't captured even half of the upsides of these levers that we have, and we have great opportunity of reducing the level of losses with stock. On page 17, we have another very significant improvement in operating leverage. We decreased one of the 0.7 percent points in terms of sales, and reduction of expenses, especially in productivity, stores, average employee per store. We're going to highlight this increase in productivity in the next slide. But before that, on the right, we have administrative and general expenses. We have a level similar to 2019. Even with high investment in people, we have a robust management structure of the company, stronger than we had, so that we can have attraction and retention of talents. We complemented our provisioning for variable remuneration, since these results actually went beyond our goals. So we wanted to actually have variable remuneration reserved for or earmarked for Q4 2020. On page 18, we had very important productivity improvement, result of a lot of work in training, reinforcement in hierarchy of operations, process revision, eliminating administrative tasks in the store, concentrating the team in the stores and sales. We had practically one employee reduction per store, and we attained almost 35,000 reais per employee per month, one of the best metrics in our industry, with, as Mario mentioned, improving the NPS. And reminding you that in 2020, we had a very great impact because of the pandemic. In practice, the indicators are even better than those showing it, that make us feel optimistic because we still have room for improvement in terms of productivity. In 2021, this requirement, we're going to improve a new system of POS. We've launched the layers, our corporate university that is helping us improve the training qualification of our employees. We are working on a workforce management to help us in terms of productivity, and also renewing stores as a consequence of that. We have a better environment and better productivity in stores. So we are very optimistic with these indicators for the next year. On page 19, as a consequence of these improvements that we mentioned so far, we had a major improve in profitability. So the two last quarters, we had a net margin of close to 2%. End of year, we had a net profit of 96 million, net margin of 600 without IFRS. And this, we had, with IFRS, a growth of almost 4% regarding the previous years. We had an increase in EBITDA margin of 0.4 percent points regarding 2019 with IFRS, and 0.7 percent points without the effect of IFRS 16, confirming once again the deliveries projected during our roadshow. On page 20, we have also improved the cash positioning, quite sound positioning our net debt of 253 million reais with the net debt EBITDA ratio of 16.4% with 6.7% without IFRS 16. Cash cycle is equal to the third quarter, even with greater investment in stock, to sustain part of the improvement of inventory of investments that we have mentioned in the previous part of the presentation. On slide 21, we have a consequence of that great improvement in ROIC, 18.6%. That is 4.5 percent points better than previously. And we have a great evolution, 17% since our IPO of the 26th of February, even in a scenario of a great volatility in the capital markets. We had a great appreciation, 9.2 percent points above Ibovespa. On page 22, we demonstrate that we're still, in our view, at the beginning of capturing value, of creating value to the company. We have these five levers that we've been working for some time. We had at last less than half of the levers, so supplier management, category, brand, and category management, we have plenty of room to improve in these levers. The third and fourth levers, supply pricing, CRM, we captured in 2020 approximately half of the upsides of those levers, and we still have a lot to improve. And the fifth that we highlighted recently, productivity and NPS, we captured most of the opportunities, but we still have some room for improvement. This on slide 23, to close my part of the presentation, we're very proud to share with you that one of the sustainability actions today, 35% of our stores are supplied by solar power, and the other 65%, we have all the complexes or the solar power farms contracted, and we're going to have 100% of our stores supplied with solar power plants. And we're working on our sustainability reports to share with you all the actions we've been working with in the company. With this, I close my part, and I give my the floor to Vasquez to explain a little more how our expansion cycle will happen. Good morning, everyone. Just a bit of our promise of expansion that is based on four pillars that are team, training, tools, guideline, governance, very strong, starting with the team led by myself, 50 people, executive consultants, Rafael Lima, very experienced, very bold, from Burger King, working in the other teams and other companies along with us, Felix, Julio Felix, with a lot of experience in retail and with the GPA at Carrefour. And with all the expansion, we have the tools here between slides. We have slides 22, robust tools dedicated to growth. So we have been using geolocation analysis to be accurate and assertive in a new point. I'm going to talk further about that. The score quite restricted in terms of implementation. So we have a weekly expansion committee meetings so that we can get the website to have minimum score to be able to present that a predictive sales model that we've been working on for some months and improving accuracy along with project management and portfolio management to actually have a lot of confidence in this new expansion process of Pague Menos. On slide 27, we have the guidelines. We just talked a lot about that during our roadshow, our IPO period. So we have the best type of services. So this expanded middle class with average income below 4,400 reais a month. So we have focus in these states of North and Northeast, our cradle, where we operate with mastery and different formats adapted to each region. And the next slide, we talk about return through our expansion. Our governance, as I mentioned previously, is quite strengthened in terms of real estate committee. We have our meeting with our chairwoman of the board, Patricia. She has vast experience in the area, our CEO, other executives, the CFO. So we have a level of critic aspect in expansion and establishing new points, very objective evaluation, a lot of KPIs and scorecards, and I mentioned processes and metrics very clear for the expansion of every site, every new store. And on slide 29, a bit of our account rendering. We talk a lot about that during our roadshow and pre-IPO period of funding coming for the IPO, how they would be allocated today. In March, we have over 60 sites approved. Since September last year, we started with a number of about 5 sites approved, and now we have a ramp up of sites approved, 10, 15 per month. And once again, ratifying what we mentioned previously, 85% of our new stores will be in the 16 states in the North, Northeast regions, consolidating Pague Menos in these two major regions with an expectation of an IRR target of 20%. With this, I give the floor back to our CEO, Mario Queiroz. Thank you, Vasquez. Before opening to our questions, I'd like to talk about the 5 pillars that will be our focus in 2021. Slide 31, please. In 2021, our expansion plan, as Vasquez mentioned, we are at a very good pace with 60 sites well moved on. We are investing in renovation, retrofit of various stores, putting a new model for our store. Second focus is our health hub or platform. In 2021, we're going to improve our clinics and pharmaceutical services. We're going to increase our partnerships with health techs and our marketplace of services that counts with four cells. And we give further focus to partnerships with healthcare insurance companies and telemedicine. We are very advanced with Beneficência Portuguesa. In digital, we're giving focus to the app. It's being reformulated, developed in a native platform, making it more intuitive, practical, and friendly. We're still working in this recently launched project, central delivery and programmed or scheduled delivery, and also the lockers. The third pillar is value creation project. They are projects that bring more profitability through better management of commercial conditions with our suppliers and better pricing strategy. There are also projects to increase productivity that focus on increasing sales per employee and improvement of operational processes in store. The fourth pillar focuses on our technological environment. In 2021, we continue to implement the roadmap outlined by BDDI prepared in 2019. We have not measured efforts or resources so that our IT is the driving force for the transformation of the company. The focus is go-to-market that is increasingly agile. And lastly, I'd say the main pillar, people and sustainability. It outlines all the other pillars in the action of culture, Pague Menos, and the belief in the value of training to achieve excellence, the basis of this pillar. In 2020, we were amongst the 25 best companies to work for in the retail, according to AGPTW. In 2021, we want to be among the 10. In 2020, we launched our corporate university, Apifarma, which has 9 campi and 50 courses, and also LMS platform that eliminates borders and expands the capacity of training. Our goal in 2021 is to give 180,000 hours of training. As to sustainability, we are integrating ESG factors to our business strategy, mitigating risks, strengthening our priorities, and generating more value for the company. One of the points that we highlighted was the energy management. As Luiz Novais mentioned, we ended 2020 with 35% of our stores supplied with renewable energy. We intend to end 2021 with 100% of our stores. I thank you for your time, and I'd like to open for the Q&A session. Thank you. We now will start the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star one on your phone. If at any time your question is answered, press star two to remove yourself from the queue. The questions will be answered as they are received. We kindly ask you to take the phone off the hook as you ask the question. In this way, a great sound quality will be offered. Please wait while we collect the questions. Our first question comes from Ms. Daniela Asia from XP. Please, you may proceed. Good morning. Congratulations on results, and thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. The first, if you could talk a bit more about the expansion strategy of yours. What is the pace that we can expect in terms of store opening? You mentioned that you have 60 sites approved. What can we imagine for the forthcoming quarters in terms of store opening? And my question is the sales, that it has been maintained at very high levels, very much due to the various initiatives you've been putting into practice in the store. So I'd like to understand how you've seen taking. What is your merit? Actually, the recovery of the market, if you've seen this contributing to this performance, or if we should imagine that there is an improvement ahead to be expected. These are my two questions. Thank you. Hello, Daniela. Thank you. Good morning for your question. I'm going to give it to Vasquez, who is our Operations and Expansion VP, that will answer the question once again. Good morning. Thank you for your participation. As to expansion, Currently, we're not actually providing guidance in terms of store expansion. What I can say is ratify what I've mentioned. We've been working on our expansion project since January last year, before the IPO, understanding that we were going to have the IPO in September. I managed to get funds for the expansion. And as I said, we had the approval of pace of 5 new sites in September, accelerated for 12, 15 sites per month on average that we are expanded. Unfortunately, I cannot provide you an exact number. We're very confident. Over 50 people are working with me in this process of expansion, and we expect to deliver what we had promised in the roadshow and the pre-IPO in terms of expansion. But I owe you this guidance because of certain restrictions. As to sales, I say, well, I didn't quite get it. If we have this outlook, what is the outlook for 2021? Well, because our level is quite high. Okay, Daniela, I think Novais talked quite well about the increases we had in terms of also in our roadshow. He talked about to catch up store and initiatives. I think those are very important that are base of our current growth and give us trust for 2021 continuing being a robust year for us. Even if the environment, people expected it to improve, it's still like 2020. But the assortment is quite interesting, and the pharmacy channel is even more important than in other retail channels. Customers come to get the product. They have been finding their total prescription at Pague Menos, and so we have infinite shelf. Mario mentioned that, and that helps us. If we cannot find the product in one of stores, they provide their zip code. We can deliver from one store close to their home, or they can pick from the store, and the improvement in supply chain and logistics that reduced our stock out. Along with that, the customer service, our NPS improving, and our being able to have more pleasant service, better to our customer, and the digital channel that has been taking a very important space for recent past. This week, restrictions of mobility, partial lockdown, and those are so actually the digital e-commerce tools are very important, and the delivery has helped us to continue with the sales pace that is quite important. And we are very attentive and careful regarding sales for 2021, and we can be more confident about that. Great. Thank you very much. Congratulations on your results. Our next question comes from Mr. Ruben Couto from Santander. Good morning. I have two questions. First, could you comment on the evolution of market share second semester last year? What are you expecting for this year? Because even with this strong performance of same-store sales, the drop of share in the Northeast was a bit worse than the third. I'd like to understand your view on this effect, if there is something that can be done to gain further share, to understand if you expect a stabilization and when we can see a recovery of share gain. And the other one was gross margin. I'd like to understand if you expect stability year against year or an expansion, because we see several positive initiatives helping on one side, pricing, assortment, etc. But on the other hand, we see sales of health insurance companies, etc., that bring the margin down. What do you expect for this year in terms of gross margin or net margin, actually? Thank you. Rubens, thank you very much for your question. I'd like to answer on the market share, Novais, on gross margin. Market share, our position is that we see it as a great deed. We practically have maintained the market share along 2020, even with a reduction in the number of stores, whilst the market grows 4 or 5% in the number of stores. This is result of our growth of our average store sales that had an increase of 4% that neutralized the market share. So we believe that when we start to open our new stores, we will be able to improve the market share. As to gross margin, I'll give the mic to Novais. Good Morning, Ruben. Thank you for the conversation. We're optimistic for the growth margin for 2021. As we've mentioned, we have five levers that we're working on for some time to capture value and generate value for the company. And some of them, most of them, of the upsides are on growth margin. So the projects of vendor management, pricing, increase and our own brand, and we have captured less than half of the upsides of these levers within 2020. We started working with them in mid last year. We have excellent negotiations, but the inventory takes a while to be able to generate and capture the benefits of all these projects. As I said, we captured even less of those upsides in 2020. We still have great expectations for 2021. In addition, as we mentioned, we had over 2020 a greater pressure in stock out, but as we highlighted, the cash margin, gross profit, because of the increment of assortment, was very positive. That leveraged our sales. We reinforced quite well our loss prevention in 2020, increasing frequency of collection of products close to maturity or expiry. So we have improved in the Q4 2020 regarding the third, but we still have great opportunities for improvement in 2021. So we are optimistic regarding margin for 2021, Ruben. Perfect. Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Gabriel Simões from Itaú BBA. Mario Novaes Vasquez, thank you for your presentation. Thank you for taking my question. I have two, actually. You've mentioned that thank you for your question, starting with the second in terms of productivity. We talked a lot about our roadshow in the previous meetings. We have the opportunity of further reduction in the number of employees per store. But in mid-2020, we were talking about a Pague Menos that would have average sales per store of 535 million reais. We came to 573 and we reached 590 in the fourth quarter. The focus now is not more anymore of reduction of employees per store. The focus is to keep on increasing average sale per employee. We had the Abrafarma ranking. We are the seventh ranking average sales per employee. So we still have a long way for improvement in increasing in productivity. So we still have opportunity reducing number of employees in some specific stores, but our focus now since we attained of 590,000 reais per store, is the idea is to increase our productivity, not reducing the number of employees. As to vaccination, I'm going to ask Vasquez to talk a bit about it, but I'm going to give you an introduction. We are part of Abrafarma, and Abrafarma has put almost 5,000 stores that are prepared to carry out vaccination and made this available to the federal government and obviously to state governments that want to use the chain stores prepared for that, and they are available. So far, two capitals have searched us to support. This is not very final. We're just beginning to talk the conversation. We see uncertainties regarding the vaccination and the national inoculation plan of the government. So till we get abundant vaccines, and we don't have an expected date, but we are available. Vasquez, if you want to add, I'd just like to say, because of this, in some units we have used vaccination, so we have bought devices, specific fridges for storage and conservation of vaccines, and we're in for some types of vaccines and training of the pharmacists, as Mario has said. We've been doing this for some time. We positioned ourselves as entity that Abrafarma, we told them that we want to take part of this movement with the government, but we're still waiting for further instructions and guidance from the government in different spheres or levels, federal, obviously. But as Mario mentioned, we have some local level conversations to move forward with that. And it's our wish as a company to actually take part of this process and project of inoculation immunization in Brazil. Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press star zero on your phone. If any time your question has been answered, please press star two to remove yourself from the queue. Our next question comes from Mr. Joseph Giordano from JP Morgan Bank.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. I'd like to further explore drivers that you're focusing on, health insurance companies and pharma client and client pharma. How much of ticket, of incremental ticket, can you get within the clinic pharma client vis-a-vis traditional clients? Or, in other words, how can this leverage the ticket and the growth of the company? And the other point is, we see very significant growth, R$400 million in the contribution of revenue coming from agreements and partnerships. Can you identify the sales as a new sales, incremental, or if some customer that was Pague Menos customer went into a partnership? How should we think about the margin dynamics from now on?
Good morning. Thank you very much for your question. I'm going to ask Luiz Novais to answer you.
Good morning, Joseph. Thank you for your question. Both the channel of health insurance and clinic pharma give us an average ticket 2x average of the normal ticket of the company as a whole. So actually, there are two levers that are very important to us to increase average ticket of the company. And it depends very much, the second part of your question, it depends very much on the type of partnership, if we can identify if it's incremental sales or not. Some partnerships we can, with the base of tax ID, the customers that started buying from us or even buying more frequently with an increased ticket than previously. And other partnerships, not 100% of them can we actually see the volume or the incremental volume of revenue. No doubt, the two levers help us increase the sales of the company. We don't have the level of the increase that are actually contribution of those levers, but they certainly have. We've grown 14% average sales per store in the channel of partnerships and agreements, participation of 7.4% to close to 14% in the fourth Q 2020. So we attribute great part of our sales growth deriving from those partnerships and agreements. We still have great room for improvement and increase in the agreements and clinic pharma. And because of the pandemic, the awareness has increased significantly of our clinic pharma with COVID tests in our stores. So people that took the COVID test in our store started to get to know better all the other services that we provide in our clinic pharmacies, over 30 types of services. And then people, as we show in the presentation, over 50% of them that go to clinic pharma buy something from us on the same day that they've been to the clinic pharma. So we attribute a major part. We cannot actually size how much these two levers contribute to that, but they certainly do contribute a lot, Joseph. I'd like to add to his answer. We believe that this part of partnerships is the loyalty creation channel. It's quite pertinent question, Joseph, because we make the analysis with our CRM, our customer database. We can identify those that are incremental, those that are already Pague Menos customers. And then we have the question, if I didn't have this partnership and provided this additional discount, would they still be our client? It's a loyalty tool. So we put that as one of a part, one as part of our gross margin. So we have an increase of loyalty through partnerships and agreements.
Perfect. Thank you.
We now close the Q&A session. I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Mario Queiroz for his final remarks.
Well, thank you. I'd like to thank all of you for your time. I highlight that Q4 2020 illustrates quite well what Pague Menos is: solidity, strength, and humbleness. We know what we went through to get here. We were humble enough to recognize our errors and loyal to fulfill the strategies outlined for years ago. Today, we are reaping the fruits of our
actions, and there's more to come. Pague Menos is what it is because of people and its team of giants that have shiny eyes and a drive of Brazilians in their veins. Give us a mission and we'll fulfill it. Thank you for your trust and see you in the next quarter. The Pague Menos conference call is ended. We thank you all for your participation. You may disconnect now and we wish you a good day.